You're listening to The Top Line, brought to you by Fierce Pharma and Fierce Biotech. I'm your host, Ayla Ellison. Peripheral artery disease, or PAD, is one of the leading causes of non-trauma-related amputations. PAD is a common vascular disease in which leg arteries become narrowed, reducing or cutting off blood flow, contributing to 400 amputations performed each day in the U.S. alone. Given these statistics, I was shocked to learn that about 70% of Americans are unaware of this disease. That's according to survey results released earlier this year by the PAD Pulse Alliance, which was launched by four heart and vascular societies to raise awareness about PAD, improve early detection, and reduce amputation rates. I sat down with Dr. Kumar Madasari to discuss PAD and what the new alliance is doing to raise awareness. Dr. Madasari is the Director of Peripheral Vascular Intervention and CLI Program at Rush University Medical Center. He's also one of the individuals chairing the initiative. Here's our conversation. Thank you so much, Dr. Madasari, for joining us today on this episode of The Top Line. Could you explain what PAD is and why it's a significant concern?
Peripheral arterial disease is a chronic disease that affects the arteries in the periphery. So that means the arteries outside of your heart. Primarily what we talk about with PAD are patients that have leg problems related to the arterial disease. PAD is most commonly caused by diabetes, high blood pressure, and smoking. These patients are typically in the older ages of life after 50 years old, and they have this chronic debilitating disease where the arteries become full with plaque, often with calcium and cholesterol, similar to what we see in the heart that cause heart attacks. Instead, these cause what we consider leg attacks or pain. Often it starts when they start walking and they have pain in their thighs and calves or a burning sensation, which causes them to stop and not be able to walk much longer. This often gets better with rest. However, it keeps progressive if we don't control the risk factors that we mentioned above, which are also several other ones as well. It's highly prevalent, most commonly seen in the diabetic population, in the millions of patients nationally and hundreds of millions as we progress in the next few decades globally. The biggest downside of PAD is that it's often undetected, it's undermanaged, and it's so progressive that eventually they get into these terminal stages called critical limb ischemia, CLI, or chronic limb-threatening ischemia, CLTI, and these patients often have amputations of their legs, which carries one of the highest mortalities of any disease we know, higher than many cancers, up to 60% within 5 years of a major amputation. And these patients are the ones that you see with wounds on their feet that won't heal, and some of them have pain that wakes them up at night in their legs. So this is a very grave global concern and a lot of work that we have to do for preventative care and also management of those patients who do have PAD.
And you're a member of the Society of Interventional Radiology, which is one of the four heart and vascular societies that recently came together to help launch the PAD Pulse Alliance. And as one of the individuals who's also chairing the initiative, could you share with our listeners about what the mission is and the goals are for the PAD Pulse Alliance?
Of course, happy to. This is a great initiative. For decades, we have a few different vascular-based specialties, which includes vascular surgery, interventional cardiology, and interventional radiology, which I'm a member of, who treat patients who have arterial problems. And unfortunately, it's been for many decades in silos or independently. And what we have a problem currently is that there's so many patients who don't have, number one, any access to care or fragmented access to care, despite the specialties working independently. So what I really am excited about this is that for once we're all working together with a common goal of increasing awareness, increasing detection, and trying to reduce amputations in our nation's patients who sorely need it. And this is something we see most prevalently in the rural areas and also within the minority demographics. So, which is not too surprising when we look at overall healthcare, but when you have patients who have a high mortality situation based on access to care, detection, and prevention, I think us working together with a common goal is probably the best thing I've ever seen. I think this helps us have a chance to do something better together, because there's far more patients than there are us specialists. So we need to work together to help them out.
The PAD Pulse Alliance released some really interesting survey results. And one of the items highlighted from those survey results showed the significant portion of Americans who don't know what PAD is. What do you think has led to lack of knowledge about this condition?
Well, the survey helped us understand what many of us had felt, but puts it into numbers to understand that more than 70% of the public does not know what PAD is or what causes it and what's going on. It really drives home the point of the lack of awareness from the medical community, making patients aware, and also from just a public awareness campaign. I think one issue is that PAD is caused by several risk factors, but these are the risk factors that majority of the Americans in the nation have. But it's hard to pinpoint one thing. When you think about cancer, that word has become very synonymous with something everybody understands, and puts a lot of fear in everyone to take action and to look into it and to worry about it. But when you say PAD, it's a disease process that have several symptoms, have several risk factors. So it's not something that's well pinpointed by healthcare institutions and also for public awareness. So I think we have to do a better job of making people understand the real consequences and the long-term effects of PAD. And I think that's why it's not so well understood, because primary care physicians, everybody, ERs, they have to worry about single diagnoses, single problems that patients are experiencing. But when they have a constellation of symptoms that are happening from a disease process, it's a little bit less understood. And I think we have to do a better job of making it easier for the public to understand what they may be facing, what to do, and how to prevent the major consequences.
And that is part of the work that the PAD Pulse Alliance is trying to focus on. Could you give us a little bit of information about what the PAD Pulse Alliance has planned to bridge this knowledge gap and raise awareness?
I think what we try to do is get together and try to figure out what are the weaknesses that we have in public awareness and how to address those head on. Some of the biggest components of this, I think, is health literacy when it comes to any patient demographic. It's very cumbersome. These are things that it takes a while for us to teach even physicians. So we have to find ways to make it more salient for patients to figure out what these terms are, what they mean. So one of the ways of attacking this is working on patient toolkits, which patients can access by visiting the websites and finding out little kind of snippets of videos and pictorial representations and little information pieces that can help them further understand what we're talking about and what they should look for and how the questions that they should put together for their physicians when they think they may have symptoms, how to ask for simple things about ABI, which is a simple, cheap test to see if they may have PAD. So by putting this information into easy to access platforms for patients, we have a better chance of getting them to understand it and take charge of their healthcare. Along with that, there's media campaigns to help raise awareness with online, print, and television as well. So these are components that we're using to help on a national scale raise awareness. And that, fortunately, with the coalition, we have different physicians from different specialties that are all involved in this, working on this. And one of the issues that we notice is that these care deserts in the rural and far out areas that have a highest amputation rate from lack of access to care. So by forming this coalition, we have a better chance of getting more people from our societies and our constituents to get together and find out maybe there's a way to direct patients to help, to find help in those areas, because we're doing a very poor job on our own. So I think working together, we can start tackling some of these problems together.
And for those in some of the rural communities that you mentioned that don't have access to specialists, or maybe they don't even have access to a hospital, what are the options for those people?
It starts by just catching some of the early symptoms. And the earliest symptoms of symptomatic or actual PAD is what we call claudication. And that's basically pain with walking. And that's what I was alluding to earlier. And the issue with that is a lot of patients, as they get older, think that they have, you know, back pain, hip pain, knee pain that are probably related to this. But in fact, they may have PAD. So what we try to do with the toolkits and try to get patients to understand is if they think they may have symptoms related to PAD, they need to ask their doctor to see, could I have PAD and do I need an ABI, which is the simplest test. And that's basically where we're just taking blood pressures of the arm and the feet together and comparing them and seeing, is there potentially PAD present? If there is, that doesn't mean that they need surgery or a minimally invasive procedure that those of us that do interventions do. What they need is lifestyle modification and conservative treatment. What that means is trying to control those risk factors that we talked about amongst others. So number one, if they're smoking, try to really help them stop smoking so that it doesn't get worse. If they have diabetes, trying to see what can be done to help their diabetic issues get under control, whether that's medications, diet, nutrition, all those things, get them moving as much as possible. What we do know is that PAD is a problem where the arteries get narrow. However, if patients are able to walk more and more, what happens is progressively, they can actually improve their symptoms and reduce that pain that they get. And what's happening is often they're developing better blood flow, sometimes through forming what we call collaterals. And that just comes by pushing themselves to walk. These are conservative management that we need to do, and controlling their blood pressure with medications, their cholesterol with medications, which patients should be on. Some of these are the same risk factor modifications that are done for heart disease and stroke. So there's a correlation with patients that have PAD as well as heart problems and stroke. So all these things that we try to initiate without having surgery or procedures is to prevent them from progressing, and it can help their heart as well as their stroke risk as well at the same time. So these are the things that need to be taken place for these patients to basically get up and move as much as possible and to improve their quality of life.
Going back to talking about a little bit more about the PAD Pulse Alliance, you mentioned the toolkits that are available to patients. Is there also an educational aspect to raise awareness among physicians as well? Or is this campaign mostly focused on the patient population and trying to further educate them on PAD?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think from a global perspective, we all need to do a better job of helping primary care physicians get a better handle on how to address these situations with patients. Primary care physicians, whether in urban or rural environments, are inundated with a lot of issues they have to deal with patients. And I think we need to do a better job from a coalition to also help them use these toolkits to help their patients understand things better so that we can all streamline care. But in general, what we do know is that patients are their best doctor in terms of looking for things and verbalizing when there's a problem. That also includes their family members. So I strongly believe that doing a national public campaign, even globally, has a better chance of getting patients screened and managed earlier than just by focusing on physicians. I think we've seen this work very well when you deal with congregations and synagogues and things like that, where people are more willing to listen when they want to take charge of the healthcare. So I think it's a two-parted effort where physicians also need education, but public awareness may be some of the best ways for people to advocate for themselves and to get help much earlier on than when they can get into a system. Like we talked about, a lot of patients live in areas where they may not have access to care that easily. So at least by raising the awareness of these topics and what to look for, they can start advocating for themselves and seek help and try to get to a place where someone can help them out a little bit further. So I think we have to work with everybody at the same time.
By raising awareness, encouraging patients, it will allow patients to better advocate for themselves and also for family members, and just to be able to recognize PAD and some of the symptoms of it as well. Dr. Madasri, thank you for your time today and sharing more information about PAD and the recent launch of the PAD Pulse Alliance as well.
Thank you so much.
That's it for The Top Line. I'm your host, Ayla Ellison. You can find out more about this topic in our show notes at fiercepharma.com. Look for podcasts. And that's the bottom line from The Top Line.